Father, we're here this morning to focus a little bit on Jesus and his birth. It's the time of the year that we celebrate. Lord, I pray for us as we hear the verses that we've heard so many times through the years. I pray in the name of Jesus that these verses would impact us in a new way, in a greater way this morning. As we think and as we reflect, Lord, I pray that our response would be that we would worship as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And at the end, then Merle is actually going to read a story, Merle Yoder, to wrap things up. So the prophecies, the first one that I picked is from Balaam. And we know the story of Balaam and how Balak wanted him to come out and curse the children of Israel. And God didn't allow him to do that. And I know more about Balaam because there was a talking donkey involved than I actually knew what he said. But in his, as he blessed the children of Israel, this is one of the things that he said. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. In other words, he was seeing into the future. He was seeing a person coming. And then he said, a star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call him Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform that. That last phrase gives us a window into the passion that God had in providing us a son. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God was passionate about someday sending a son, his son, to this earth, a child. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. It's prophesying that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And then the sad part of the prophecies, Jeremiah 31:15, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. So there was a longing, there was an expectancy and a hope that was rising out of the children of Israel for many, many years, that someday a Redeemer would come, the Messiah would come, that would change life as we know it forever. And so let's sing of that a little bit as we worship. And so after years of longing and hoping and wanting something to change. All the prophecies that were prophesied and then 400 years of silence. I wonder how many people after 400 years of silence actually believed those prophecies anymore. But then we break into the New Testament, and I just want to read the Christmas story in order that it happened, and I'm going to be jumping back and forth between Luke and Matthew. Luke 1, chapter 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Powerful words. With God, nothing is impossible. And then Mary's response, "Let it be to me." Jumping back to Matthew, chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Back to Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. This census first took place when Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them, as it was told them. I was just reflecting on that story a little bit. And we move from the feeling of expectancy to one of excitement and jubilation as finally all these prophecies were fulfilled. And as I was reading the story, I wonder who I would be in the story. Who would have you been in the story back then? And would we be like Mary, who said, "Lord, whatever you say, I will do"? Would we be like the shepherds who ran and found? And I was curious, as the shepherds went out from there, it said they spread this story to everyone that they would meet, basically. Whoever would give them an ear to listen to them, they told the story because they were excited about it. They were pumped. And they were telling everyone. And I don't know how many of them came to worship, or if they were just saying, "Well, these are the smelly shepherds. And, you know, they must have had too much to drink tonight," or something like that. I don't know what their response was. But the shepherds went and searched it out and said, "Is this really happening? Is this true? And what does it mean for us?" Then continuing on with the story, back to Matthew chapter 2. The story of the wise men. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jesus, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, come back, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh," actually the best that there was to offer. That's what they brought to the king, the newborn king. "Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but we know the wrath of Herod, of the king. And he sent out his soldiers to Bethlehem and killed all the children that were 2 years old and under. And that fulfilled the prophecy that I read earlier, that there would be weeping in Bethlehem. And so in a short period of time, all the prophecies had been fulfilled, and there was angels proclaiming the birth of Jesus. Finally, Jesus was born. And the question is, what does that mean for us today? And let's think about that as we sing about the birth of Jesus. Let's stand together again for this time of worship. So Jesus came, born of the Virgin, born in Bethlehem. He came. What did that mean for them at that time? What does that mean for us today? Because not only did the prophecies tell about the coming, they also told about what the result would be of Jesus coming. What was so glorious and wonderful about the birth of Jesus Christ? this was the result of Jesus coming. Listen to these words from Scripture. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. How incredible for us today. We have a God that's not going to decide by what we see and what we hear, but he's going to make a judgment call based on him, and he's going to judge righteously and with equity. And righteousness will be the belt of his loins. And then listen to these verses. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them. That's talking about the peace that James actually mentioned in the beginning. The cow and the bear shall graze together. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand into a viper's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as waters cover the sea. And in that day shall the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And that picture of Jesus being the banner is actually talking about the fact that we would call it a flag today. And if you're into studying about history and armies and those kind of things, we rally around the flag. And that's our standard. It's what we follow. It's where we go. We're following the flag. And Jesus said that he would be the flag that all people would rally to, and that he would lead. Powerful picture of what would happen. Isaiah 12, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. How many of us have shouted recently about the fact that Jesus Christ was born? And it has impacted our lives and changed us. Who wants to shout right now? Amen. Shout for joy. Comfort ye. Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, comfort me, my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. Her warfare is ended, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all our sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And listen to this, Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall and hill brought low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I talked back a couple weeks ago about God being the God of the unfortunate circumstance. And I love this picture of how he takes the hills and the valleys that happen in our life, and he levels those out. So, and this is talking specifically of God, but I believe it applies to us as well, that the paths that we walk on and the hills and the valleys, whether it's losing our father or whatever we're facing in life, God has a way of leveling those things out so that the path that we walk on is one that we can travel smoothly. I'm not saying there's not obstacles, but He has a way of leveling those things out. That's a result in our lives if we follow Him, and that's a result of Jesus being born. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Powerful verses. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, there shall come up a cypress tree, and instead of the briar, shall come up a myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those that believe in His name. Powerful scriptures, the result of Jesus coming as a baby years ago. How much are we worshiping Him actually today? And as we think about Christmas, we were going to do a story, and I'm actually going to skip that this morning. Let me tell you the gist of it, because it's 3 pages long, and we would end up being here for quite a while. Merle was going to read that, but I'm going to skip that. But the gist of the story is this. It's a story about a young boy who one Christmas, for years, he gave his dad a Christmas gift, and he would go down to the store, and he would spend a little bit of money and get his dad a tie. And that's what he would give him for Christmas. And one year, he was laying in bed one night, and for some reason, the gift of the little tie didn't seem like quite enough to give his dad, and he was trying to figure out what to give his dad. And his dad had just talked about the fact that Jesus was born in a manger, and he asked his dad what a manger was, and his dad said, well, it's a barn just like ours. And so he said, well, what can I give my dad? And so he got the idea that this year he was going to give his dad something more than just a tie. And so he got up very early in the morning, because they had a routine. His dad would get up and go out to the barn, get up and wake him up and say, son, it's time to do chores. And then he would go out to the barn and get started. And then this boy would get out of bed and go out and join his dad to do the chores. So this year, he got up way early, and he went out and milked the cows by hand and did all the chores. And then he crawled back in bed and couldn't wait for his dad to come and tell him to get up, because he knew what would happen. And so his dad came and told him to get up, and then he heard him go outside, and about 10 minutes later, he heard him come back in, and he came up, and there was some dialogue that happened between the two of them. He said, you know what? You thought you could fool me, but I want to thank you so much for this gift. And it went on to say that it was the most precious gift that, first of all, he had ever given, but that his dad had ever received. And the difference was, he gave of himself. And that struck me, because so often we can give gifts around Christmas time. We can give lots of stuff. We can give all kinds of things. But how many of us are giving of ourselves as we come to Christmas time? To our families, to the people around us, Are we really giving of ourselves, or are we just giving stuff to each other? And it's just a challenge for us. God gave us everything. We sang about that. He gave us everything. He gave us himself. And we're called to reflect that. And I hope we can do that this Christmas season, that it goes way beyond the gifts, but that we have something that's coming out of us that we can give to each other. And really, that's just love. The story goes on to say that one of the things that impacted him, he thought about that, he remembered that gift for years to come because he remembered his father's love in that moment, in that time that they interacted with each other. And that's one gift that we have to give to other people. Let's stand together. I'm going to have a closing prayer, and then James and Carl are going to lead us in a verse or two of Joy to the World. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this Christmas season. A time to remember, a time to reflect, but also a time to worship. God, we've read lots of scripture, and the result for us here today, Jesus being born, is incredible. It's out of this world. We can't even wrap our small little minds around it, the gift that was given. And Father, I pray that as we leave here today and as we celebrate Christmas together with our families, with our friends, God, that we would worship you, first of all, in greater ways, but even beyond that, that we would give of ourselves, not just the stuff of Christmas, but that we would give a part of us, part of what you've given us, love and hope, actually. Thank you so much, God. We worship you, we celebrate, and we adore you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Dismiss us with your presence, with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.